Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper, Bid Badler, another of our Baseball America Prospect Deep Dives. Today, we are taking an in-depth look at one of the most successful organizations in baseball over the last decade, and one of the better farm systems as well, the Milwaukee Brewers. Ben does our Brewers list. There is a lot of interesting guys to talk about here, and we're just going to dive right in because the headliner of this, though, and I would say the headline topic, if you're talking about the Brewers farm system, is we have a number one prospect who is making his U.S. stateside debut in 2025. Shortstop Jesus Mate jumped to the top of a pretty solid and a pretty stacked Brewers list. Ben, like when you were kind of going through this, was that a slam dunk? Was that something that you kind of expected from day one of kind of the start of the process? Or was it a tough one to figure out, like, okay, are we gonna push Mate to number one, even, you know, though his resume right now is a very good season in the DSL?
Yeah, there's so many things to love about Jesus Mate, especially at the plate. But at the same time, he's 17 years old. The only track record we have on him in professional baseball is what he's done in the Dominican Summer League. So, you know, you compare him to guys like Jacob Mizurowski or Jefferson Quiro or Cooper Pratt, guys who have done it at higher levels. Certainly more proximity with those other players. So kind of went into it thinking a lot of these guys would be maybe bunched pretty closely together because we just don't typically put a 17-year-old player who's only been in the DSL maybe ever as a number one prospect in an organization. And then you just kind of compare where Mate should be relative to other, you know, young shortstops or other players within the top 100. And it's like, wait a sec, this guy probably should be a top 25 prospect in baseball. This is not just a good DSL prospect that we're excited about. This is one of the best prospects we've seen come over from the DSL in a long time. And, you know, look, obviously guys like Wander Franco or Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a lot of guys would skip that level initially, like Leo Dallas DeVry with the Padres did this year. So, okay, maybe the very best of the best guys are starting in or had started their careers in the States prior to, you know, 2019, 2020. But everything Mate does is both polished and exciting in terms of the upside, especially with what he does at the plate.
And the other thing I would know with that is you've noted before, the Brewers are not one who does that. Like the Brewers, a lot of these top players have skipped over the DSL. But the Brewers, generally, their approach is that you do spend a year in the DSL, right?
Yeah, I mean, most teams now, mostly for tax reasons for the players, are keeping their players in the Dominican Summer League for the first year right after they sign. But the Brewers are also, I think, one of the most aggressive teams in terms of promoting their young international prospects. We saw it with Luis Lara, Yoferi Rodriguez, you know, Hedbert Perez has not worked out, but Jackson Chirio, these guys are playing in low A. Yeah, that one's been pretty good so far.
That one worked out pretty well.
Yeah, they're frying, saying, hey, like, if you're good enough, we'll push you past the Arizona complex. Like, you don't need to play rookie ball, or maybe you'll be in extended spring training for a little bit, but hey, we'll push you to low A. And I think we'll see the same thing happen with Jesus Made and probably Luis Peña too, who was with him in the DSL last year too.
The other thing I kind of was thinking with that. So we also, I would say that nowadays there's rightfully been kind of this, there's been research that, you know, if you're just looking at a slash line from the DSL, that's probably not a particularly useful indicator. You want to see a guy hit 300, not hit a buck 50 and all that. But we now have more information. We now are there, and teams have more information than they did a decade plus ago when it comes to how are the players, you know, performing, what are their skills to go with the tools when they're in the DSL. Like with Made, one of the things that jumps out is it's a really special combination of power and zone awareness, is it not?
Yeah, he's an extremely disciplined, selective hitter. And when he does swing, he rarely swings and misses. And then, oh, by the way, when he does hit the ball, it's with some of the best power that we saw of any hitter in the Dominican Summer League last year. I mean, you can see it. You can see it in the slash line, but then when you look at the exit velocities too, oh yeah, it's, you know, he was hitting balls up to 109 last year as a 17-year-old, which, you know, you can see his frame. He's 6'2". There's a lot of bat speed. Those numbers are only going to continue to go up. So, okay, selectivity, extremely high contact rate, you know, some of the best power you can find for a 17-year-old, and the physical projection to grow into even more power. Oh, and then also he's a, you know, plus runner. He has a plus arm, switch hitter. That's the one thing we haven't really seen, is just because he hasn't faced a lot of lefties in the Dominican Summer League, just because there aren't that many lefties there. Like, there are some guys who think he has more power from the right side than the left side, but we just haven't really.
We'll get to see that this year.
Yeah, it's a very minute sample size that we have of that. So the biggest question right now is maybe does he stay at shortstop? Does he go to third base or maybe second base or maybe center field long term? I mean, he runs really well. There's a lot of athleticism and tools there for him to play shortstop potentially, but it's just not polished quite yet. It's not like, oh, like you look at Starlin Kappa with the Marlins and say, oh yes, that's definitely a shortstop. You don't say that for sure about Made, but at the same time, you know, if he plays shortstop, I mean, you may have a superstar, but also if he goes to third base or he goes to second or center field, you may also still have a superstar.
And I think the Brewers are a perfect example of this. They kind of even look at that, like the Brewers like to play shortstop caliber players all around the infield. They had last year, you know, Willy Adames is gone, but they had Willy Adames at short, and they had Bryce Terang, who can play short at second, and they had Joey Ortiz, who can play short at third. Adames leaves, and now it's like, okay, great. We have plenty of options here because we have shortstop capable players playing these positions. I wouldn't shock me at all to see, you know, Made kind of fit in that group too, where it's like, as he goes up the ladder, they kind of play him a little bit of multiple positions because, hey, wherever the opportunity arises, this guy's going to be capable of doing it, it seems like.
Yeah, they also have center fielders playing on their corner outfield spots too.
Exactly. This is, yeah. They emphasize run prevention, and they also like their guys to hit. And that's, Jesus Made checks those boxes. You mentioned, like, I would say that we expect him to go to low A. Mm-hmm. The thing that also does jump out with this, obviously a lot of this depends on how quickly and how well he performs, but we do have, in the case of Churio, a pretty recent template for the speed with which the Brewers might be willing to move a guy if he keeps performing. Now, again, Churio checked those boxes, right? He destroyed low A, jumps up to high A, goes to double A, even in a year that was a really kind of weird year with the baseball and all. And you turn around, he's in the big leagues. I'm not saying it's crazy to put that kind of timetable on anyone, but the other thing that just jumps out when you talk about the power that he already has, the plate discipline he already has, the athleticism he already has, and, you know, all these things that stand out. And he said, you know, again, he's going to be playing. He's going to be a teenager for quite a while longer. If he stays healthy and everything breaks right, a player who could reach the big leagues at a very young age for a big leaguer, couldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's the same age as the high school players, you know, the Ethan Holidays, the Billy Carlsons, the guys we're looking at for this year's high school draft class, and he's going to be already in low A this year. So, yeah, I mean, he, if everything clicks, he could follow the Jackson Churio, Fernando Tatis Jr., that type of timetable getting to the big leagues. But, you know, everything looks great right now, but they're, I'm sure, we'll just see. Like Churio, even Churio hit, you know, some bumps in the road when he got to double A. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly, you know, it's hard to put a timetable, like you said, on a guy who's, you know, still 17 years old, but you know, these guys with his level of talent tend to break the conventional timetables that we put on players.
And the other thing I would say with that, like you just said, when they're going to low A, you know, at this age, if they don't fall on their face, you already are on kind of a very aggressive, a very ahead of the norm kind of timetable. Because as you just said, we know that he's likely to play in low A this year, where the U.S. contemporaries of his are playing in high school right now. And they're likely to not, that we know they're not going to spend a full season in low A this year because they got to get drafted and then they got to sign. And by the time they do that, most of those players don't really spend a whole lot of time in A ball, you know. So we're talking about an accelerated timetable already. And again, we'll just see now. We have to see what he does, but everything jumps out pretty impressively so far. The other thing kind of with that, Ben, is that this is, as you said, this is a system of a number of top 100 prospects. The number two prospect on this list, Jefferson Cuero, is someone who, if you even pay attention, you might have kind of forgotten about him a little bit. I remember I was watching that first game of the season last year, and it was literally, I think, the first inning of the first game. He dives back into the bag and injures his shoulder, and that's the last time that we saw him in a game last year. To kind of catch people up, what is it that Jefferson Cuero could do for this Brewers? You know, what does his timetable look like now? And what could he kind of be in the long run for Milwaukee?
Yeah, so you saw 100% of Jefferson Cuero's at-bats last year, it sounds like. Just a super unfortunate injury, because this guy has a case to be the best defensive catcher in the minor leagues. He's coming back now from a shoulder injury, so we'll see how that affects his defense and obviously his offense too. But when everything looked right, you had the look of somebody who could be a plus to potentially plus defender. The arm strength, the receiving, the blocking, the leadership, all the little intangible stuff that managers love to have in a catcher, he had that. And it's not like he's an empty bat either. I mean, he's a pretty good hitter for a catcher. Now, is he going to hit top of the lineup, middle of the lineup? Probably still more toward the bottom of a lineup, but a good hitter for a catcher. As far as ETA, the fortunate thing for them is it's not like, hey, like, we're desperate for catching here.
They've got this giant hole that they need to fill.
Yeah. No. So like, if, you know, you don't want a player to get injured, but they're obviously well set at that position. So they can afford to be very patient and very judicious with how they bring him along. So maybe he's ready by the end of the year. If not, certainly I would think 2026, but there's also a lot of uncertainty now where, hey, like, it was a little tricky to rank him just because those guys were, you're going off of information based on more than a year plus now from when we last really saw him on the field and in like true competitive games. Those are tricky evaluations to make sometimes, especially when there is a pretty significant injury in his case. But yeah, I mean, he's one of the best catchers in baseball, or what are they, I should say, catching prospects in baseball still.
The thing that jumps out to me is I don't think there's any team that does a better job of helping catchers with their defense than the Brewers. We've seen this in the case of William Contreras, where when Contreras came to the Brewers, it was like, oh, this guy can hit. Will he be able to play a defense enough to stick at the behind the plate? That's not a problem for the Brewers. The Brewers do an incredible job, I would say, in the minors, but also in the major leagues, in instruction of helping catchers with their receiving, with their framing, with kind of all the aspects of the job. Cuero has kind of been, you know, has already done that. Like you said, this is a guy who there are very few questions. I really would struggle to come up with who would be the candidate to equal him. Who was like, who's the other candidate of, oh, no. Jefferson Cuero is not the best defensive prospect, catching prospect in the minors. I mean, we've got a 7 on his fielding and a 7 on his arm. That's very loud. But you said, like, this is a kind of a great situation for them in that they can be patient, you know, because they have an all-star. They have one of the best catchers in the game, and they have him for multiple more years. That, though, kind of, again, we're still in top 100 prospects here. It's a good system. I would say the one that's kind of that we had probably internally the most kind of discussion about in all was Cooper Pratt, who went to the Futures game last year, shortstop who was in low A, you know, and then jumped to high A, I believe, if I remember correctly, at the end of, you know, in the end of the year. Pratt kind of had a really solid season last year as a hitter. But kind of where do you see him now, and where do you see him kind of fitting into this mix all around?
Yeah, I think he's a very good prospect. You can find people who think he's the number one prospect in the system if you believe that he is a true shortstop, and you buy into both the bat, which, you know, the bat was very impressive, I think, in his debut, and the power projection coming on with him later on, because he is, you know, 6'4". He's, you know, it's not like he's a little slap hitting shortstop by any means. So there's, you know, a reasonable amount of physical projection still there. I think for me, what separated, you know, say like Made from Pratt is, you know, I think Made makes more contact than Pratt. And I think he has more impact than Pratt. I think there's just bigger tools in with Pratt. So I think Pratt, you know, especially he definitely belongs in the top 100. I think the defense this year was impressive or more impressive than some people were expecting. Now, you know, he's 6'4". I think there's still some questions on, like, is there the first step quickness, especially as he fills out, like, what does that do to his range? But then at the same time, I think there's other questions on, like, what does he become offensively too, right? He's, you know, he looked like a very good hitter. Everything is very polished, like a very high baseball IQ, all that helps everything play up for him. But when he jumped to high A, and it wasn't a huge sample, but we saw the strikeout rate tick up, and we haven't yet seen big power from him, right? Like, it was like a 100 ISO last year in low A, even when he was hitting well there. The exit velocities are still below average, maybe a little bit surprising for his size, but you can say, well, there's going to be bigger power coming just because of how big he is, how much stronger he could get, but it's not like it's elite bat speed there either. So I don't know. I'm not sure he's going to ever be a superstar player, but I think he has a chance to be a very solid everyday regular player. But for me, that's more of like a back of the top 100 guy. Whereas I don't know, where are you at on him?
I'm higher on him, but I do think, but you hit the thing, like, this is the fun of doing this, right? Is that there are no certainties here. It really kind of comes down to, I would say, if you think that Pratt's power is really going to blossom as, like, he will, you know, talking to him at the Futures game, it's a very much a hit first approach. He's not really, he's like, look, the power will come, but I'm really more focused on hitting. And I trust that as I kind of get more comfortable, more, you know, more adjusted to pro ball, I'll become more of a power hitter. I'll start looking for more of that. But that is the question. That's a very fair question from the standpoint of, it's projecting something that he really hasn't shown yet. And so if you think that that's like, okay, he's going to hit. And then 23, 24, 25, it's like, hey, now I'm really going to start letting it eat. Then he could be special. And if it's more of like, no, he's going to hit, but it's not really elite bat speed. There's not really that much power here. It's more of a hit first profile. Still a good player, but you're right. That would not be the same kind of impact. And again, I think all the other part of it comes down to, how good is he going to be defensively, right? Like, you wrote up in your report, the clock, the anticipation, all those things are really good.
Yeah.
is he going to be a really good defender because he just does everything right? Or is he going to be an average defender? Or is, as he gets older, as he gets bigger, is that going to go away a little bit? I mean, all of these things are, but this is the fun of this, right? Like, it's like, there are a lot of paths that are still open for him. And that's where, you know, there's some uncertainty to it too, right? So like, I know I've talked to some evaluators who are really convicted, and I've talked to some others who are like, yeah, there's a lot to like here, but, you know, it's a little bit less of, oh, you know, this, seeing kind of all those, him checking all those boxes down the road. He's a fun one. I did want to get to kind of one more guy this way too, because you mentioned him already a little bit before, which is kind of Mate's wingman in the DSL is pretty good in his own right, which is, I would say that we can expect to see Luis Peña also probably make that jump to low A this year. That's how you wrote it kind of in your future, like your projection. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's not Mate, and he's not physically like Jesus Mate, but there's a lot to like here as well, is there not?
Yeah, it's like they, you know, you want to argue like who are the top prospects in the DSL last year? Okay, Mate is number one, and Emil Morales with the Dodgers was great too. But oh, the Brewers might have also signed like one of the other top five prospects from the DSL last year in Peña. I mean, he's got hit 393 in the DSL. He pretty much never swings and misses. It's just tremendous. Tremendous hand-eye coordination. Now, it's sometimes to his own detriment at times, because he one of the weaknesses to his game is that he will chase too much stuff out of the strike zone. He will also hit stuff that's out of the strike zone. So he's going to have to learn to rein that in, whereas Mate is a very selective hitter, makes really good swing decisions. Peña is going to have to clean that up, but it's a lot of contact. He can... When he lets it loose, you can see power in there too. Only one home run. It was an inside the park home run. I think he actually hit an over the fence home run in the DSL All-Star game that Josh got some video of. But I mean, it's elite contact skills and a really good athlete too. I mean, he's a well above average runner. He has a plus arm. Another guy where it could be shortstop, maybe it's second base. He certainly has the speed to go out in center field. So, a lot of things to like. It's not the power or the patience that Jesus Mate has, but yeah, I mean, wouldn't overlook him. And yeah, there's a reason why he is a top 10 prospect in a pretty good farm system.
If you're just hearing about these guys, or if you like started learning about Jesus Mate, you know, in this off season, we put him in the top 100 pretty aggressively, put him number one on the Brewers list. Well, join us at baseballamerica.com and you can be ahead of the game. Ben was writing about Jesus Mate well before that. As he mentioned, Josh Norris for us was at the DSL All-Star game watching Luis Peña and Jesus Mate, getting video of them there, talking to scouts there. When we did our DSL top prospects list, these were two of the guys who really jumped out on it. If you want to be ahead of everyone else, that's what you can do at baseballamerica.com. Join our subscribers and get all of this content, including full scouting reports on the top 30 prospects for the Brewers and all 30 teams with BA grades and tools grades. And by the way, that wasn't enough for us. We also picked out 10 more prospects you need to know. And Ben has just finished up working on the 2026 top 200 draft prospects. There's a lot over at baseballamerica.com. So much to read, so much to enjoy as we get ready for this. Well, not the 2025 college seasons here, but get ready for the 2025 pro seasons, majors and minors. And we'll keep talking about the Brewers right after this quick break.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business calls library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
And we're back. So, Ben, when we look kind of big picture at the Brewers here, the Brewers, to their credit, have kind of been the team that's been the most consistent of the NL Central teams. You'd say the Cardinals for that, but the Cardinals can't say that anymore. Logically, if you look at resources at all, maybe it should be the Cubs, but it's not the Cubs. Here we are, the Brewers, who, again, have kind of ensured that they kind of stay in this fight, stay in the playoff hunt year after year after year, and have managed to do that for quite a while now. To ask the big picture, like, what are the Brewers doing right that kind of allows them to stay as a pretty perennial playoff contender? Although, admittedly, they don't have that World Series, title in this run to go with it. Don't have a World Series appearances for to go with it. But what has allowed them to kind of stay in this, even with, again, not the most financial limitations, but this is not a team that's going to have a $300 million payroll in any year.
They just do a lot of things well. I mean, starting up from the top, going back to David Stearns, who I think is one of the best executives in the game. Matt Arnold also has become one of the best executives in the game now, taking over. They make a lot of smart trades, a lot of savvy, smaller pickups. They certainly have developed pitching extremely well. The players that they have signed as amateurs have come through as prospects on the position side have been pretty strong as well. And you look throughout the farm system and it's deep. I mean, there's high end talent at the top. There's maybe not like the upper level guy other than Jefferson Kiro, where like the hitters, like, I don't know that I expect like big impact coming from the farm system this year for hitters. I mean, I like Tyler Black. I don't know that he really fits into the picture long-term in Milwaukee. It's tough to see him fitting in because I think probably outfield is his best spot and tough.
They're kind
tough
of sell. Pretty full there.
Yeah, tough sell right now. But I mean, otherwise, you look up and down the farm system, it's, whether it's the draft or international free agency, especially certainly international free agencies, the work that they've done in international scouting is some of the best, maybe the best, arguably, in the game over the last 5+ years or so. So just a really well-run organization, especially for a smaller revenue team to be able to consistently compete be competitive for a playoff spot the way they have been for the last, 7-8 years, whatever it's been now, while also having a pretty strong farm system is pretty unusual to find.
It's fair to say, like, that if you're going to say you said Cuero, like, ideally Cuero spends triple, this year in AAA, they have a catcher. Is Jacob Mizorowski the guy that we can most likely expect if you're going to say that there's a impact coming from the minor leagues this year? Would Mizorowski be the name, or would it be maybe a Craig Yoho or someone? Or
yeah, I was going to say probably those two guys, probably more on the pitching side than the hitters. Mike Bovee is interesting, but I don't know that he's going to get there this year. But Mizorowski, certainly the highest upside guy. I mean, very polarizing player because some guys think, oh, well, he can't get the walks under control and he's probably going to be a reliever. I don't know. I'm more optimistic than most. I think that's certainly an outcome for him where you could put him in a high leverage relief role and just let, top of the scale or close to it stuff dominate in the back of a bullpen. But I also think, hey, like there's other examples of guys who are, gangly 6'7+ pitchers who just took a little bit longer to figure out where the ball is going. And I wouldn't just write him off from starting because we have seen strides in terms of the control. Now it's not even average control, but yet
he's going to be 24 all year. He's not like, he's not 30 and we're trying to see if he's going to figure this out.
Yeah. And the stuff is just so good where maybe the Brewers just do throw him into a relief role and they keep him there, but I hope they give him the opportunity to start because he has so much margin for error with his stuff. It's a top of the scale fastball. It's wipeout breaking stuff. you know, I'm not guaranteeing, obviously, that it'll all click and he'll throw enough strikes to be a starter, but I think the potential is there if a team has patience to allow him to maybe work through some of those growing pains at the major league level, which maybe the Brewers don't, because they're, you know, they're not the White Sox. Kind of. It's an easier position to be in if you don't care if you win or lose. But I think, yeah, he's one. Then yeah, Craig Yoho, who, I mean, just the how many guys in baseball, minors or majors, have a better changeup than Craig Yoho? It's not many. I mean, it is like a magic trick. Yeah, he doesn't throw that hard. It's probably 90, 94. There's enough of a curveball in there to give guys another look, but he just throws this unbelievable changeup that looks like his fastball out of the hand and then just dive bombs at the plate. Ton of horizontal action to it, so it's heavy tumble, it's fade, it's a ton of separation off the fastball. It's, you know, I'll throw it to lefties, I'll throw it to righties. And it's not like guys have to sit back for, you know, a 95 to 99 mile an hour fastball. He's throwing 90, 94, and these guys are still swinging and missing like they can't see the ball or something. So I think there's still questions. He's an older prospect. There's questions about, is it going to be high leverage or, you know, more middle relief? I think a lot of people think more middle relief, but I mean, that changeup is so good, I wouldn't rule out high leverage situations for him.
And you would not, I will also note, like, he is an older player. That's 100% true. And there's injuries, like, the good and the bad. He was a position player for a while in college. He's had two TJs. He's had a knee injury. Like, there's some durability issues, but also there's some reasons why you say, well, why is it taking him so long? It's like, he's missed a good bit of time, like with surgeries and rehab and all that. And I kind of love him in that relief role. I don't anticipate that the Brewers will really, in a series, probably almost ever have him face a guy twice. Because if you just see that changeup one time in a series, because you can pick your spots, right? Okay, you're facing the top of the lineup today, and then 2 days later, you're facing the bottom lineup, you're facing different guys. But it's pretty platoon neutral for a changeup, like you said. This is not we only wanted him to face lefties. This is the guy who could do it against both. And yeah, it's... if you don't get a chance to see that a lot of times, I think it's going to really mess with you the first time you're facing him, especially if you don't face him again for a while.
I mean, even guys are seeing, I mean, he'll throw it back to back. It doesn't seem to matter how often guys are seeing it. They don't, you know, look, AAA hitters, obviously very different than big league hitters, but I don't have any concerns about that pitch being able to play at higher levels. But again, another example that you look at him, or, I mean, him and Casey Hunt. I mean, Craig Yoho is, I think, an eighth round pick who signed for $10,000.
$10,000, yeah.
And Casey Hunt, who was an NDFA, who was pitching out of the Mississippi State bullpen with not good results, right?
8.54 ERA.
And these were their co-minor league pitchers of the year. Now, like, how high is Casey Hunt's upside? I don't know. Like, they moved him into a starting role at the end of the year. We'll see if that sticks. Maybe it ends up being a middle relief role, but again, like, they're getting some impact guys early, like, you know, whether it's a Garrett Mitchell falling to them in the draft, or, you know, Sal Frelick, Bryce Terang, obviously a first round pick as well. They're getting those guys, but then they're finding these players too, who, you know, whether it's Hunt, Craig Yoho, and hey, these guys are real big leaguers for them, for, you know, that anybody else could have had for nothing.
This is the thing that stands out to me, right? Like, and I'm going to use an NL Central analogy here. If you ask me, the Cardinals have done a lot of things really well in the 21st century. But one of the biggest things to me is that they had this really good synthesis of kind of what you just said. Like, if you talk about those Cardinals teams that went to the World Series and all, it's like, okay, the Jeff Lunau drafts where it's like, they got Matt Carpenter in this round. They got, you know, they were getting guys in later rounds who then ended up being productive players. Yeah. And the other part of that is they really did a great job of development of those guys, where if you said, well, what happened? It's like, well, no one thought Alan Craig could play anywhere defensively, and they got him to where he was playable, right? Or this pitcher kind of broke through, or all this kind of thing. They were really good at development of helping guys get to the absolute kind of top tier, upper level of what they could be. That's what stands out to me about the Brewers. Like, I'm not saying it's like it was key to their season in 24, but you saw Sal Frelick when he was coming, you know, when he was a draft, you know, a top draft prospect. But no one at the time said to you, hey, think he's going to play in the infield in the big leagues? Like that was, he was a good outfielder, but it's like something where from a developmental standpoint, hey, we need it. We'll help figure self, help Sal figure out how to do that. Bryce Terang was a first round pick. He was a prominent guy, but he's gotten better. Like that's another guy who's gotten better. Blake Perkins was not a prominent guy, but they kind of got the best out of Blake Perkins. William Contreras, again, this guy could hit, but this was a guy no one said when William Contreras was coming up through the Braves organization, oh, this guy's going to potentially be the best catcher in the National League, which you could make that argument now. And again, that's not even touching on the pitching, and we could go through all the pitchers that they've produced who have kind of exceeded expectations, the Brandon Woodruffs in all of the world, year after year after year. But this does feel like it's an organization that really, that the thing that jumps out is it doesn't feel like that there are organizations who do certain things well, but this is an organization that feels like it does a lot of different things well right now.
Yeah, I think it's really balanced on off the field. And yeah, I mean, even the pitching again is like Brett Witrowski from the draft last year, Bishop Letson, you know, maybe Letson a higher profile pitcher than Witrowski coming into the draft, but like two guys who are pretty significant up arrow players from the 24 draft, both guys who are throwing harder this year. And maybe Witrowski didn't sustain it throughout the whole year, but both guys who came in as interesting prospects and who aren't both now top 10 guys in that system because of, you know, a large part because of the development that they've had over the past
year.
And
like you said, Witrowski is a guy who was $100,000 13th rounder. That is another one of these guys who fits that profile of the Brewers seem to do a really good job of kind of scouring, like, are there traits that can be unlocked here that can, we may not be seeing it in performance right now when the guy's in college, but we think there's more in there kind of thing, which a lot of organizations try to do that now. I'd say the Brewers are probably one of the best at that. The last thing kind of, we love to kind of wrap this up with the non top 10 prospects to watch. We already covered two of them because Craig Yoho and Casey Hunt are not top 10 prospects, but I don't want to cut you off also on there. Is there someone else that jumps out to you from, you know, beyond the top 10 is like, hey, keep an eye on this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I do love Craig Yoho. It's hard to figure out where exactly to rank him, but I guess on the somebody who's about probably 10 years younger than him is Brylan Antunez, who is an outfielder they signed this year out of Venezuela. And he was not their highest bonus. He was not even actually not their second highest bonus guy. But he, you can make a case he might be the best prospect signed from Venezuela this year. I mean, Andrew Salas with the Marlins is a really talented player, and Yordan Bautista with the with the Mariners as well. But Antunez, if you're looking for the next international player who could really rocket up the system, I think he's the one to bet on. Now we already have him ranked pretty high. Like he's not too far off from the top 10, but there, he just does a lot of things well. It's not, there's a lot of bat speed there. There's definitely power potential there. He can already drive the ball pretty well. Now he's not like 6'3", 6'4". He's more of like a 6 foot compact type frame, but there's what stands out about him is not just the power upside, but also just how mature the game at bats are with him, at least against amateur competition, right? Like we'll know a lot more once the DSL games get started, but so far, it's a pretty sound right-handed swing and a really good idea of the strike zone, a really good idea of how to manage his at bats. And then there's other tools that are pretty good there too, right? It's at least a 60, maybe 70 grade runner. He has good defensive instincts. And then there's a plus arm that, he just turned 17 years old. Maybe it ends up ticking up another grade too. We'll see, but just a really good mix of both tools and skills where, I mean, I don't know, you look at the Brewers track record too with some of their recent international signings. I think he could be the next one who could really pop off for them.
It's worth noting Jesus Madé was not their top bonus signing last year. It's not something where you have to be the top bonus signing to be the guy who stands out. Like, that's something where Madé was their number two guy last year, you know, much like you're talking about here at Fontunias. So it is a fascinating system. It's one that keeps producing talent even after graduating a pretty strong string of stars, even, I would say. I'd say that we can comfortably already call Jackson Churio, a recent graduate, a star, without really a whole lot of argument on that one. Well, thank you for joining us again, Ben. We hope you're enjoying these deep dives. And again, there's so much more over at baseballamerica.com. For Ben, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.